Greetings. This is hour two of the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry Radio Church. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. Hour two, July 13th, 2025. In this hour, we're going to talk about the October 7th, 2023 war, which is also referred to in the Bible as the Psalm 83 war. In the Bible, it is not called the Gaza war. It is called a regional war between Israel and ancient family members and hostile nations. I'm going to read Psalm 83 all the way through. And it is not a genocide of the people in the Gaza area. It is not a genocide. This is an age-old conflict between the Philistinians and the families that married into the Philistinian race, Jewish family members from Esau, Ishmael, Moab, Ammon. It's a detailed account, very clear, but because the Christian ministers don't study the Bible prophecies, they are completely ignorant of the fact that this war was predicted, or this conflict in the region was predicted about, 2,900 years ago, right in that vicinity. And it had a birth date. The birth date was October 7th, 2023. This was the day that the Hamas attacked the people living in southern Israel. It was this was a genocide. Men, women, children. Since the war began in October of 2023, shortly after it began, I began to do programs on what the war was all about on my Sunday programs, the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry, which this is the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry program. Again, for July 13th, 2025. I had begun around early 2023, through studying other scriptures like Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 21, other prophecies throughout the scripture in Isaiah, Jeremiah, and I began to on the radio programs, which are archived on thispresenttruth.com. You can go back to those dates right in that time frame. And I began to say that we are very close to the final decade, the 10-year period before Christ's return. And I think it was in about 2023, early 2023, I said that we were right almost in that decade, very close to it, not knowing and not realizing that the Psalm 23 conflict would begin on October, again, 7th of that year. And I have studied what had happened. I'll go into it more in detail as we go into this hour. I'm probably going to have to do another hour on top of it. The Christian people, many in this country, in the evangelical churches in America, believe that this war that is occurring, the conflict in the region, is a genocide, especially in Gaza, that it is a genocide of the Jewish people, the Jewish army, exterminating a people. It is not a genocide. I don't know. These Christians that are very emphatic, stating that this is genocide. They oppose it. They hate it. They want the government to cease, our American government to cease. They want Israel to stop the conflict. No, this conflict will not stop until this prophecy is complete. Presently, as of the date today, July 13th, 2025, there is another conflict that is still coming. The conflict in present-day Jordan. And Psalm 83 speaks of it as a war on family members. I'll explain in detail, but there are family members involved, age-old conflict between family members and hostile nations in Lebanon and along the coast adjacent to the coastline of to Egypt. It is not a genocide. Christian pastors that don't know Bible prophecy are stating it's a genocide. There is a basic anti-Semitic attitude by these individuals against the seed of Abraham. They will be, like the Bible says, blessing, I will bless those that bless thee. Cursing, I will curse those that curse thee. These individuals will be cursed with blindness, and they will be found later. It will be evident that they don't know what they're talking about. And now, from my view, this war began about 10 years prior to the return of Christ, almost to the season. So 2033, in the fall, that would be right about the time when Messiah of Israel would return. Jesus Christ will come. It will be in that season, in that time frame, where Armageddon will just be finishing. Late summer, early fall. The Bible teachers in the land, and even the teachers who teach on the prophetic word, they don't generally see, for the most part, Psalm 83 in the Bible. They don't see it as a prophecy that needs to be fulfilled. It was just an account back at the time of King David. One of his musicians, Asaph, he in a prophetic musical event, I guess you would say, singing a song to the children of Israel, sang this song to them, and it was put to music. So this song is actually it's being sung to the children of Israel. What happened then at that time with the enemies surrounding them caused Asaph to go into prophetic singing. It is a song prayer, and it was for that time, but it was also for 2,900 years into the future, once Israel became a nation once again. And I say that this is right at 10 years before Christ returns. So we are now presently in the final decade. The men of the land that are prophetic Bible teachers, to many, Christ is still at a distance, a generation out, 20 years out, two generations out. No. Israel became a nation. The final generation began when Israel, again, is now had come into existence. And the people back in Israel, the other concept is that they are not truly the Jewish people. Well, not everybody in present-day Israel is Jewish. There are many who are Arab that are citizens of Israel. There are those who are Jewish that claim to be Jewish, many Catholics, the other religions of the world are in Greeks, evangelicals living there. But according to Christ's own teachings, Israel will, the children of Israel will be dwelling in their land once again. Matthew 24 makes it very clear. Halfway through what we call the tribulation period, the Lord tells his people, the elect, who are Jewish. The Christian people are not the elect. We have not replaced Israel. We are a family. We are family members through rebirth, but we are not Jewish by nature. But Christ tells the Jewish people in Matthew 24, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, in the temple. Flee. Don't come back from the field. Flee to the mountains. Flee east to the Jordan, the nation, the area in Jordan. Present-day Jordan, which is southern Jordan, is referred to as Petra. And presently, Israel, Jordan is a king. Hussein is the king of present-day Jordan. But Psalm 83, as I began verse by verse, teaching you what is in this chapter, it refers to the area of Ammon, Edom, and Moab. This is the three families that live in present-day Jordan. Israel will take that real estate, will take that nation. That nation will belong to Israel at the conclusion of the Psalm 83 conflict. This is time-sensitive. I felt to begin, I have been addressing the Psalm 83 war since two years, roughly. I have to condense it now because it will expire. It is a time-sensitive prophecy. It will end. There will be a conclusion to it. As this psalm concludes its lifespan, Damascus will be destroyed. The city of Damascus. And presently, right now, there has been a regime change in Syria, which the United States feels is great for our purposes. But this regime change is the beginning of the setting the stage for the destruction of Damascus, which is a prophecy in Amos chapter 1, I believe. Yes. And also in Isaiah 17, the ancient city of Damascus is going to be destroyed right at the conclusion of the Psalm 83 conflict. It's like passing a baton in a race. As soon as and right at the end of the Psalm 83 war, the baton is passed and the destruction of Damascus is right in the same time frame. But there are two different prophecies. Each has its own specific reasons for punishment. Now, from here, where we sit in 2025, here in July, from this point to the time that Christ returns, we are now in a season or a time frame, the beginning of a period, where punishments from God are going to begin on the earth. The recipients of the punishments will be the body of Christ, the true believers in Jesus Christ, in Yeshua, whether they be Jewish or Gentile, whether they be Hebrew believers or Gentile believers, the punishments will begin on the body of Christ. Firstly, then the punishments will escalate definitely to the nations, but next will be Israel. Israel's punishments as a people, as a family, are going to increase. And we're beginning to see presently the anti-Semitism of anti-Semitic, Jew-hating, Israel-hating Christians who are truly born again, but again, blind to prophecy. They don't know prophecy. Then lastly, there will be the judgment on the nations. And there's a, like a slide. It's like an incremental, you might say, the intensity of the conflicts in the world began to just slowly, you know, rise to the point to where eventually the world cannot, Christ said that if he doesn't return, no flesh would be saved. This would be in the period of time after a 7-year period of tribulation, in a time that is called the time of wrath, where God's wrath is poured out unmeasured upon mankind. The true Christian people will be resurrected, which is a laughing matter to the children of the world, because they're blind. They don't understand the power of what happened on the day of resurrection when Christ raised from the dead. They don't understand what happened when he returned that evening and breathed into a small group of people that were gathered in a room. He breathed into them his Holy Spirit. And eventually, there would be a great company through the centuries of peoples that would be born again, that would be the children of the brothers of Christ. And eventually, there will be what is called a resurrection, and they will be taken out of the world, because the faithful in the whole family of Christ through the ages, those that have been faithful, will rule and reign with Christ in the millennial kingdom. Those that were unfaithful, that didn't pay the price, there is a place for them that is called outer darkness. They are Christ's, but they don't get to enjoy the great banquet, the wedding feast, because they were unfaithful. This is a hard saying to many Christians, because the men of this evangelical, the churches in America, have been unfaithful to warn the Christian people. The Christian life is about growth. You must grow. It's not about doing things, just giving out clothing, handing out whatever. There's more to it. While you're working and laboring for reward, there is what is called growth, spiritual growth, where we mature, where we grow, and we take on the qualities of all that Christ is by his nature, through his nature, our kindness, our true love, our compassion, our empathy, and not in the natural self, not just in the, there are people that are just naturally, you know, loving, caring, they have empathy for people. Even the children of the world, they have this empathy for the children of the world have empathy for the children of the world. They don't have empathy for the children of God, but that's natural. We have to grow so that our love is of God, from God, not from our natural self. I'm giving just a simple example. And that the good deeds, that we might be kind by nature, that we're not being kind just because by nature we're kind. No, Christ works himself into us, and we eventually get to experience his kindness and we operate through His kindness, not through our natural abilities. Now, I don't want to drift. There's punishment coming to the whole world. It's in the Bible. We cannot avoid it. We are going to go through the hardest times ever in the history of mankind, even more terrifying than what occurred at the time of Noah, the flood. The world together, we're going to go through a hardship like the world has never known. And the hardship is going to be allowed by God, and who God is going to appoint to, you might say, oversee that hardship are the children of the devil. This is the way that John the Apostle speaks of it. They are the children of God and the children of the devil. These are the servants that serve another king. We as Christians, we are supposed to serve Christ. He's the one who purchased us, redeemed us from our corrupt past. Well, there's another employer in the world, and I'm going to do more programs on this. And that employer, his name is Satan, or the devil, or Diablo. He employs children for his kingdom. Christ, we through rebirth, we become members of an eternal kingdom of God, and we are employed by Christ. We become his laborers. We are to go into the field, work while it is day, and present Christ in the reality that we have in our experiences of him, and invite these individuals to come into his kingdom, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So, we see in these two kingdoms, there are two employers. Who are you employed by? And even if you are employed by Christ, are you truly employed? Do you truly, do as he requests? Are you actively furthering his kingdom and growing and representing him in a diplomatic way? Because we are his diplomats. We are his ambassadors. Or are we receiving the gifts of the king, the protections of the king, the mercy and the miracles that are needed from the king, but then we really don't spend our time serving him, spending time with him, getting to know him, having a relationship with him, getting to understand how we individually are in a communication with him so that there is a dialogue back and forth. He speaks to us, we speak to him. There was a time when Abraham was in the desert and three men came at a distance. He saw them. He went out to meet them, to greet them. And he had, I think he brought them to his tent. They spent some time together, literally visiting. This was the Godhead. This was God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They had come to warn Well, they had come to visit Abraham and prophesy to him and tell him that he was going to have a son. And through that child, God was going to begin a new purpose with a family, the family of Abraham. His son would be Isaac, grandson Jacob. And through these three men, they would bless the earth. When he finished giving Abraham the reality of what was going to happen with his having a child about a year out, if I remember correctly, then they took him over to look on the hills over Sodom and Gomorrah. in the valley of, over that valley of sodomy, of perversion, right there in Abraham's back door. And they said, you know, they were talking amongst themselves. That's what the Godhead does. The Godhead visits. The three are one, but one, but they are three. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They said, should we tell Abraham what we're about to do? We are right at the same exact place in the history of the world. God is basically in a dialogue. Shall we show our servants, the true prophets, those who are really ordained by us, and the true apostles that we have handpicked to minister in the United States of America? Should we tell them what we're about to do and the destruction that is coming to the United States of America and the punishment that is coming to the children of Israel because of their apostasy and the prophecies of that are coming concerning Russia and other nations in another prophecy in the Ezekiel 38 and 39 prophecy? Shall we tell the Chinese leaders that they're going to have to assemble and begin to arm themselves because they have a destiny in the Middle East at Megiddo, in the area of Basra? Should we tell the apostles of the land and the prophets of the land what is coming? I don't hear many prophets, I don't hear any true apostles speaking of what is coming to this country, to the Jewish family of Christians in this country, and the Gentile Christians, or to the Jewish people. We are 8 years plus from Christ's return, and everyone is doing their own thing. Ministers in these big ministries, they are doing what they did when they began their ministries. They're raising money for their future. They're building their cathedrals, their palaces, their empires, men and women. That's what's happening in the evangelical church. Then with the other denominations, with Catholicism, they're continuing to take offerings every week. And the Lutherans, mainstream denominations, are continuing as they've always, going back to the time of Luther. Nothing has changed in the Lutheran churches. Going back 1,500 years roughly to the Catholic Church beginning, nothing has changed. Prior to the Catholic Church, there were the Greek churches. See, the Catholic people have been told that they're the oldest church. They were came into existence through Peter. That is not true. But the Catholic people, this is what they're taught, generation. And the Lutherans, a fairly young church, maybe 500 years. The Greek churches, again, older than the Catholic churches. The Greeks were 200 years, 300 years before the Catholic Catholic Church came into existence. Now, the youngest of the seven lampstands, again, I repeat this over and over, is the evangelical churches of America. We have a very unique place in church history. Quickly, my podcasts for the Olive Tree Ministry are on the website thispresenttruth.com. You go to thispresenttruth.com to the podcast section, and the Present Truth programs will open up and the Olive Tree programs will open up and you can decide what you want to listen to. But both pages are right there. And I want to give out, I will have donate functions on the website, God willing, in the next 48 hours. You can support me. I need your support. Also, you can write me at Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Again, Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. You can mail me support. I am not 501c3. I know that I would be regulated, and I I'm allowed to do certain things, and there are other things I am not allowed to do. And like with all of us, we want to be free. We don't want to be bound. We want to be free. If you're free, don't seek to be bound. If you're bound, don't seek to be free. This was what Paul was saying concerning marriage. Well, it's the same with ministry. I am free. I am not seeking to be bound. There will be no tax exemptions. If you give, you give just as the Holy Spirit prompts you. That's the way it's going to be. I am do my ministry. I'm prompted, like this program today. We're in the last decade. I'm prompted to present to God's children now that I have a website, that there's no reason to pursue vain things. Vanity, it's the worst. There's nothing you should pursue in life other than focusing on what God is speaking to the world and to the churches and to you. That is your only protection. It is a safeguard, because you will be sober knowing that there's 8.5 years before Christ returns. Nobody will tell you this. Nobody will, generally. Maybe there are those in your world that are speaking the same thing. I don't know. I don't see it. I know of some who I believe are basically stating to some degree what I'm presenting. I don't know if they're talking about Psalm 83. I'm laying this foundation because I'm going to go verse by verse. And if I don't finish, then I will have this is hour two of the July 13th, 2025 Sunday program. Now, I'll go back to this dreadful thought that God is going to allow the children of the devil to be the instrument, or the utensil, I guess you could say, the implement that God is going to use to bring, to end the apostasy in the body of Christ, and to end the apostasy in the nation of Israel. So we are going to be the means, the tool. These individuals will be the means, the tool. I'll give you the great example. The coming Antichrist. In the Bible, he is referred to, this monster, this beast, is referred to as God's servant. And this servant has a duty. And the servant will have people that want to follow him. And so his duty is to deceive as many people as possible to join him in the quest to have eternal power and rule the world. And he takes them with him into perdition. On the other side, he is used by God to punish the Gentile nations that hate God, and to be used by God to punish apostate Israel and the Jewish people that are communists, socialists, that are in worship, idol worship, like many Christians. And the God will use this individual also to some degree to punish the children of the devil who are in the occult. Because you see, in the occult, there is a battle always, and each, let's use the term covens, they always try to be a little bit higher, better and more powerful than the others. Well, these are referred to as his children, Antichrist's children. And he doesn't do anything to help them eventually. Those that are in prison, he won't do anything to get them out, even though they've been faithful to him. So that is an example of the servant in the other kingdom. It's in the Bible. God's people need to understand that what is happening in Psalm 83 war, the punishment of these nations are righteous punishments. These nations, these families have afflicted the children of Israel going back to the time before they came out of Egypt, or after, soon after they came out of Egypt, and even before that. One of the family members, Esau, began to afflict Jacob even before they went into Egypt. And the same with the children of Lot, Ammon, and Moab. There was family strife. And this punishment that is occurring in Psalm 83 that will occur in the Damascus war, that will occur in the coming war in Ezekiel 38 and 39, known as the Gog and Magog War, or the Great Russian War with comrades, and then eventually the tribulation. All of this is righteous punishment and hardship upon God-haters and upon apostate children. The unique thing about the Psalm 83 war is it is more evident. You know, when Israel became a nation, the news went around the world fairly quickly. It maybe took days in some areas of the world for the people to understand that Israel was once again in existence. But in the Psalm 83 war, there is something that is shift. There's a shift in technology, real time. When Israel is bombing in the middle of the night, you can see it throughout the world on news outlets because it's real time. This Psalm 83 war, God made sure he waited and he allowed mankind to have the technology through information and media that we have, not just television, not just radio, but through internet, through satellite. He waited, because when the punishment of these nations and peoples in Psalm 83, God wanted the whole world to see it, to witness it, that it would be the focus internationally of what was happening with Israel and the enemies, not only in Gaza, but in Lebanon, and also to some degree in Syria, and a little conflict in that whole area. God needed to wait for the perfect time so that everything would be reported in real time. Seconds. 3, 4, 5 seconds, and you can see it. This is the same with the Damascus War. It will be in real time. With the Russian War, with Turkey, and with Iran, it will be in real time. Israel will not destroy Iran. America will not destroy Iran at this time. Iran has to be left alone, because Russia and Iran and Turkey and other nations will all be punished at the same time. We will view it in real time in the nation of Jordan. Israel has to take the nation of Jordan over. It has to become Israel's real estate. They must acquire that land. And Psalm 83 is where Israel, through a campaign, acquires all of present-day Jordan. They have to acquire it because in the middle of the tribulation, the Jewish people in Jerusalem or in Judea have to flee to the east over the Jordan River, over through the into the mountains of Jordan, to an area called Petra. They need that property because there they will be protected for 3.5 years once Antichrist invades Israel. And Israel will be invaded by this coming beast. This is why all the punishment of all these families has been halted and stayed until the present, because we needed satellites. We needed to view everything, because this way, this is a stamp used by God. People can look at the prophecies concerning these nations, and it is crystal clear. This was spoken of 3,800 years ago, 2,800 years ago, almost 3,000 years ago, and beyond, and soon before that, and they're coming to pass. They're coming to pass. I'm going to begin in this hour with verse 1, and I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. Verse 1, do not be silent, keep not silent, O God. And the God referred to is the God of Israel. This is the very God that David, King David, worshipped. This was his God. Do not be silent, O God. There are many different translations. I go through many of them to get a clear thought, even the Jewish thought. So Asaph begins the song, and he sees what's happening. He realizes the enemies surrounding Israel at the time when he was the musician for King David. I think he was one of the musicians that played with King David. And he sees what's happening, and his plea is, do not be silent, O God. Do not be silent. And his plea is to God himself, the God whose throne is on Zion in the heavens. Hold not your peace. In other words, do not hold your peace. You need to be violent. You need to be active. Don't be still. Don't just sit like a calm lake. Don't be tranquil. O God, again. O God, don't be silent. O God, don't hold your peace. don't be still. So he is pleading specifically to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which today this would be God Jesus for we believers, God the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't speak in terms. We pray to our Father, and we're to do that. But also, Christ is God Himself. Don't be still, O God Jesus. Now, he wasn't saying that then, but I believe in a way he was saying, O God Yahweh, or O God Yeshua. Now, in the Old Testament, there are many translations where the words for God are Yeshua. Verse 2, for, behold, something's active, something's moving, something's in motion. For behold, take a view, look. Oh God, look at what I'm looking at. Read my heart, is what Asaph is saying. Your enemies, and he begins with, not our enemies, but your enemies, God, your enemies are in a tumult. They're in a stirred up state. They are very active in a negative way. They're in a tumult, and they're your enemies. Now, as we'll see, each of these peoples and nations are deep into witchcraft, deep into idol worship. And because of this, Asaph is saying that these are your enemies. These are your enemies. They're disturbed. These enemies are disturbed. Now, if you think of what Asaph is saying back then, we look today, and we believers can say, Lord, your enemies are in a tumult. They're disturbed in their minds. There's something happening. They're bringing about mayhem. They're bringing about strife. Look what's happening in this country. They're bringing in like air turbulence on a jet. That's one thing they eliminate, is the turbulence on the wings, because the turbulence can actually cause a vacuum to stall and hold back and keep the craft from being, you know, streamlined. He's saying these people are agitated. They're so upset. They're so frantic. They're almost in convulsions. This is the thought of Asaph, and this is why his plea to God. They're in a tumult. And those who hate you, number one, these are the ancient enemies of God. They have been enemies of God because Abraham was told, those that hate you, I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. And these families that I'm going to mention will be in the millennial kingdom. He will not completely destroy the lineages, but they must be punished. It's just like with the in all the countries of the world, including especially America, the civil servants who are overseeing the welfare of the people in this country, they're enemies. They're not taking care of their responsibilities in a righteous way. They're in power for reasons other than the protection of the people of the country. They have other motives. Money, and then more money. Power, endless power. everything but taking care of their duties in a responsible way. Well, he says, your enemies are in a tumult. They're enemies of God ruling this country and the nations of the world, enemies of God in Africa, in China. It's an international problem. I focus on the United States because I are in the United States. They're your enemies. Number one, they are your enemies. Then he states, expounds, and those who hate you. So in other words, they're God's enemies on one side, and then they're the God haters on the other side. Those who hate you, they've raised their heads. Raising their heads like that is a sign of being arrogant, extreme arrogance, beyond haughty, beyond proud. In other words, they believe they have a great victory over God. They that raise their heads, that hate you, raise their heads. In other words, in the manner of being not only disrespectful, but stating to God, you have actually, we don't yield to you. We will not succumb to you. We will not yield. We will not obey you. And those who hate you have raised their heads. So very arrogant. Now, I say that it also is going to infer Islam in as I go on. I'm going to try to present this as properly as I can. Remember, these individuals, they are in a religious world. They worship, they're in idolatry, and they are in idol worship. Well, of course, idolatry. They all have their own gods. The gods are similar, but a little different. It'd be like one baseball, you get another baseball, a brand new baseball. They're identical, but on the other hand, they're not identical. They're different. But basically, overall, they appear to be the same, but there's a difference. Let me go to verse 3. They lay crafty schemes against your people. Now, Asaph brings the people of God into the conversation. They lay crafty schemes against your people. The Gaza War, when it began, I'll say this before I forget. Hamas and Hezbollah, there had been a joint plan. There were going to be two different armies led by different leaders, but the same objective is to attack Israel. They were supposed to work in a coordinated way. They were to, at the same time, attack from the south and from the north. But Hamas, they were a little too eager. They attacked, and Hezbollah wasn't informed, in a sense. They weren't ready in Lebanon. And when the attack occurred in southern Israel the 7th, then the next day, a day later, Hezbollah attacks from the north. If it had been a perfectly timed event, Israel would have really suffered massive consequences. The consequences would have been more than dire. It would have been unimaginable. But Hamas was a little too antsy. They don't like to be told what to do. They want to be the king of the hill. A number one, so to speak. And they didn't wait. If they would have waited one day, and Hezbollah, and they could have coordinated with Hezbollah, what they would have done would have been unimaginable. But they pulled the trigger a little too soon. Now, verse 3, they lay crafty schemes against your people. Now, they had been planning this, and they had been organizing for years. They had been stockpiling for a decade, plus more than a decade. They had been digging these tunnels, massive, it takes massive amount of concrete, engineering. This was a 20-year operation. And they were crafty. The scheme was to basically, as I go on, I'm at verse 3a. I'm running down to the end of this hour. I'm not going to be able to cover things adequately like I would like to, but I'll just go a little bit further. They spent all these years with all their plans directed and the schemes against the children of Israel. They were consulting together against your hidden and precious ones. These people that were abducted and that were killed, they definitely were precious. They were the precious ones. But they were consulting not only in, this was regional. This was not just in the Gaza Strip. This was a regional plan. Hamas to the Hezbollah to the north. Egypt was involved. The Muslim Brotherhood was involved. The powers and the financing came from Saudi Arabia, from Iran. The munitions that were coming in and being stockpiled. This was an elaborate plan. And they were, if Hamas had waited one day, what would have happened would have been to a great advantage for them. And I think even the Hezbollah commanders were very upset. But these people, they're violent and they won't be tamed. They're like a mule and you can't tame them. In the Old Testament, if a mule was so untamable, and so the strain was just almost mad, insane, disturbed, well, they disposed of the mule. They killed him. They'd be nothing but a problem. They would never be a creature that would be beneficial to the community or to the owner. So now I'm going to stop here at verse 3, and I'll come back to that in the next program to continue, but I have to end this program. My contact information is Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado 80502. P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado 80502. If you want to send financial support or letters through the mail, This Present Truth is a website, thispresenttruth.com. And go to the podcast site or the button at the top, hit podcast, and you'll get either the Present Truth programs or the Olive Tree programs. You can pick either one. God bless you. I will visit with you the next time. I hope this helps you. This helps you to be sober. God bless you.